Okay. Because of the basic thing. Yeah, I have to search for that word. The basic thing of Exodus 24.
Thrust.
And the amazing detail, as David was saying earlier on, the amazing detail that then begins to emerge with the paraphernalia of the details of the tabernacle. And it's fascinating that in the Bible you actually do have the Garden of Eden, Noah's Ark, the tabernacle, the temple, a vision of a temple, and then Christ, and then the holy city, New Jerusalem. And you look at those structures and the edifices that are actually described are the most quantity surveyor heavy things that you can ever come across, down to rings and nuts and bolts and incredible stuff in the edifice.
Enough to make you conclude God's a pedant. But necessarily so.
Okay, yes, yeah, get down to the nitty gritty. Okay, so fortunately and mercifully, I'm not in that area at all. I'm up and down the mountain with Moses, if he existed. Helmut understands me very well. I have a little exercise for you, and what I would like you to do is I'll tell you the exercise first. You're going to get a sheet and it will be like this, okay? Arrow up, arrow down. What I would like you to do, without falling into things like escalators or anything physical, I'd like you to just put down two or three things in your own mind as a personal focus that seem to suggest up for you, whatever that means for you, and things that conversely suggest down for you.
Do you want us to write it down or up?
Yeah, I it's going to be one of those sessions.
I'm going to write it up
with a virtual pen.
Caroline knows them well, don't you? That's right. Can I say, when I say up and down, I'm much more after your focus in terms of, you know, directing your mind rather than, you know, I'm feeling up and I'm feeling down. Because this is an exercise in personal focus and direction, and certain things in our lives seem to be very up-directed, and certain other things in our lives equally and not any less so seem to be quite down or here focused. So without further ado, just put, say, three words down for each arrow and we'll see how we go. No, because I come up with whatever up arrows associations have come to us. So let's just sort of let's just see the variety and the direction that they tend to suggest. Okay, Elizabeth.
Reading.
Up arrow only.
Up arrow. Reading, listening, and being alone.
Okay. And?
Friends, garden, kindness, friendship, gratitude, emotional well-being.
Thinking of others, wonder at nature, meditation, and being engrossed in a job.
Doing good deeds and giving advice.
Focusing on ideals, being God-focused, and also focusing on love.
All
I've got introspection and goals.
Goals,
yes.
Sunshine, agreement, usefulness.
Considering others and aim.
Community, sunshine, angelic assistance and providence.
Care, love, goodness.
Lightness, spontaneity, laughter.
Opportunity, home life, love.
Search, new experiences and variety.
Under connection with people, ideas, and sharing excitement.
Great. Okay.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. Interesting variety, interesting occasional overlaps, like sunshine over there somewhere. And for me, quite interesting in the amount of life-related things that came out as I asked you to rise above it. Okay? Up. Okay? Which I think's great, because I think that, to me, in terms of spiritual diagnosis, seems to indicate health. Okay? That as you look up, you're not actually out of use, care, love, and so on, which are very healer kind of things. Can we go around again quickly and just have a look at the words by contrast that come out of the down arrow?
Being in crowds, being too busy, and ill health.
Okay.
health, aging, and loneliness.
Doubt, solitude. Thinking of myself, fear of disasters, and panicking at busyness.
Not being thanked and an argument ensuing.
Not being
thanked.
Join the club.
fear, listening to most of the news that comes to us, and life unbalanced in some way, like too much focus on work instead of nice family work balance.
Reflection and journey.
Hello.
I've got rain, discord, uselessness.
Self, excluding others, and implementation, meaning.
Carrying out implementation.
Carrying out.
Okay.
I have isolation and habitual thinking.
Keep.
I have fear, anxiety, loneliness.
Indecision and purposelessness.
Loss and grief.
Just the one. Sameness.
As opposed to your variety.
As opposed to my variety, absolutely.
Okay, interesting.
Time wasting. Demands that take me away from what I really want to do. And the other thing, it could be all things financial, but tax returns in particular.
Yeah, indeed.
That one.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's a donor.
Great, very, very interesting. Very interesting to see the way in which we associatedly work with these two ideas of up and down. And particularly with the down ones, you've tended to come into a negativity area of downness, okay, which I fully understand. I mean, we all battle with that in terms of the contrast of, you know, space, freedom, variety, sunshine, and so on. Okay, turn that sheet over and just forget about it now. This chapter is fascinating. By the way, I need to explain that here are four copies of volume 11 of the Arcana. Some of you have got copy volume 11. There are spares here. For my session, I don't know about David and David, for my session, I've extracted the bits of chapter 24 that I actually want to offer you with hopefully sort of parallel insights. So you don't need to use that. But if you want to actually turn it up and so on, help yourselves. Now, this chapter is the Grand Old Duke of York. He had 10,000 men. He marched them up to the top of the hill and he marched them down again. And when they were up, they were up. And when they were down, they were down. And when they were only halfway up, they were neither up nor down, except that there was no halfway up or down. Moses is either up the mountain or down the mountain with the people. And the whole chapter is resonating with that basic idea that at times in life, we are going to be, or the truth or our state will seem to be raised above life and the mountaintop experience. And then the coming down and the implementation or the connection of that up state that we've had. I don't mean euphoria, I just actually mean a sense of sacredness, a sense of purpose, worthwhileness, and so on, that then comes down into life. Okay? And the whole of this chapter is very much in that area of the relationship and the connection between higher thought, higher revelation, higher understanding, and in a word, what do you do with it? Okay? What do you do with it in life? Okay? So that's the sort of basis of the chapter. Now, I am going to give you another sheet, which is the text of the chapter. That's stupid. Here we are. There we go. All right, now. Okay, if we could pass these round. Because later on I'm going to be picking points out for this chapter. I had an interesting conversation with Mark just before we each grabbed coffee. And I said to Mark that for me the word, and I really, really feel this, the text of the word and its sheer existence with us, for us, is to me something which is perfect. And by perfect, as I said to Mark, I don't mean literally true. It doesn't have to be literally true, historically true, in order to be perfect. But the word perfectly enshrines, as David was saying earlier on, the embodiment or body of all our personal states. Okay? And so on. So there's a perfection there. Now, I've told you in a number of ways that this chapter, and I'm going to run through seven of my own pre-reading, and I like to do this, pre-reading personal gets from a chapter before I actually look it all up in the Arcana. And I would encourage you to do that, because if you read the Arcana and then start thinking personally, you are being very guided by that. So put that aside and just relate personally to where you are with this perfect text. And I just want you to look first of all at the first verse and the last verse, 1 and 18. Okay? Now he said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar." Then at the end, so Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, what is, remember there the first verse and the last verse, what is the joining theme of those first and last verses?
Going up.
Up, okay? Up. So this idea of going up is being heralded as being very important. And the idea of up comes quite a lot, five or six times, through this chapter. But there are also a number of images and motions which also emphasize down. Okay? And I'll just pick two out for the moment. Verse 4. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain. Okay? Where's your foot? Down here, okay? Touching the ground. Your foot is a down, okay? And another one that I would offer in this down is verse 8. Verse 8, and Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words." Sprinkled it on the people. So the blood, which is actually being used, is falling down on the people. Okay? So, another one, verse 10. Okay, let me read verse 9 and verse 10, and then I'll stop dazzling you. Verse 9, then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. Wow. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. Okay? Pavement of sapphire stones under God's feet, but they are seeing God. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet sapphire stone. Okay? So to see God in the fullness and in the realness involves seeing not only transcendent glory, but also a pavement. Okay? The pavement is sapphire stone. And the sapphire stone is one of the things that will come out from the selected passages. So, or verse 7. Oh, I'm overdoing it, Joe, aren't I?
No?
No? All right, keep going. All.
Just don't read it all.
Don't read it all. All right. Well, you mean the whole chapter? Yeah, okay. This is reinforcement, okay? Then he took the book of the covenant from God and read it, or read, in the hearing of the people. Okay? So he took from what was given to him from on high and read it in the hearing of all the people. Okay? And by the way, the people, as back in Exodus 20, are forbidden to put one foot on the mountain. They must not come near the mountain. Only Moses and certain other people may go up the mountain and be in communion with what is up there. Okay, so, you know, in various ways, this whole chapter is very expressive of connection. And I can't overemphasize this. Swedenborg would say internal, external, you know, inner, outer, whatever you're going to sort of use as that sort of polarity. But it's the connection which matters, and that is, you know, everything to do with our spiritual states is equally to do with our life. Okay? It's equally to do with our life. And by life, I don't mean, you know, busily doing good. I don't mean workaholic. I don't mean usefulness at all costs. I mean conscious mind and the kind of person that you are genuinely trying to become. You know? It's not only doing, it's being in that sense. And the interaction, interplay, interface between the things that are revealed and the effect that they have on the state of your conscious being is the name of the game. It really is the name of the game. Okay. Now, I want to run through... By the way, like David said earlier on, for Pete's sake, you know, do come in and say, hang on a minute, did Moses exist?
That's been dealt with.
On that note...
Yes?
The thing that goes through my head at the moment, there's two things here, and I don't know if it distracts too much from the story, then I'll get over it and we'll deal with it another time. But one is that, obviously, in 7 it talks about the Book of the Covenant and being read out to the people, but he hasn't got the Ten Commandments yet.
He has.
Yeah.
Look at
the chapter
20.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, so he chucked them, but he broke them and has gang up.
No, he didn't. He's not broken them yet.
Oh, okay.
He's not broken them yet because he threw them down in 33 when the children of Israel...
worshipped the golden calf.
Worshipped, made a golden calf from their gold, from their nose rings, earrings, watches.
Yeah. But the first time he went up, he came down, saw them, he chucked the tablets down.
Well, at this moment, just putting it in terms of sequence, at this moment, this chapter 24 ends with Moses disappearing into the cloud.
Yeah.
And from then on, he receives chapters of instructions for the arrangement and building and provision of the tabernacle to be the worship place for the children of Israel. So he's up the mountain, what is it, 40 days and 40 nights?
Yeah.
Okay, 40 days and 40 nights, gets all this instruction, and then comes down and sees that, you know, the children of Israel, primarily led by Aaron, have, you know, forgotten God and constructed this golden calf and are worshipping it. Mm-hmm. So they've got the commandments. He's received the tablets of stone. He's receiving the instructions for the tabernacle, and he will weigh down, well, 40 days and nights later, come down the mountain and break the stones in anger at what has happened in the intervening period.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. So that's the one thing. The other thing...
Book of the Covenant.
Yeah, yeah. Is that Aaron, Nadab and Abihu all went up and saw God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's sort of contrast to the story that, you know, obviously that only Moses can go up the mountain later, and or is it earlier? And he only sees the burning bush because he can't look at God directly and live.
And
it's a story later as well that nobody can see God and live. So there's an apparent contradiction there.
Okay, right. Well,
You don't want to deal with it now, it's fine.
Yeah, well, it'll come up later, but when you... Okay. A number of times in the Bible, think of Moses as representing, standing for the word or divine truth, or I think a helpful way is, and David may have touched on it earlier on, that Moses represents that part of us which can actually commune with God. Okay? In some way or other, it can actually meet God and interface with God. Okay? Now, one of the things the Bible does is to actually get the prime figure, in this case it's Moses, and I can think of other examples, but like Jesus going up to be transfigured on the mountain, didn't go up alone, he went up with Peter, James and John.
No, okay? Didn't fall asleep.
Peter, James and John, they didn't fall asleep. Not then, that was later in Gethsemane. Peter, James and John stood there and for some reason had to witness the transfiguration of Christ. Okay? As onlookers. The multitude, the rest of the disciples were nowhere to be seen, were out of it, but Peter, James and John were in it. Now, the same thing happens here with Nadab and Abihu and Joshua later on and Aaron and so on. There's something in addition to Moses in our psyche which must witness and be present in the meeting point between Moses and God on the mountain. And that's all part of the connection. Mm-hmm. That's all part of the connection. Like I said, first thing, focal point, peripheral vision. This peripheral vision stuff is actually to assist the particular focal point that you have. Now, in the same way, in a way, Aaron, Nadab and Abihu are serving some use in terms of assisting what's going on spiritually.
Verse 1 does say worship from afar, so they're not...
Worship from afar. Worship from afar. So they're not to be equally present, they're to be respectfully distant and seeing. And that may be many things. That may be something about my own experience which is at that moment helpful for me to bear in mind in terms of my sense of God's working in the whole of our lives. Maybe an experience or maybe a thought, but something. But it's not Moses. It's actually a servant or an accompaniment to it. But I think one thing it's doing is actually telling us, and also, you know, 70 of the elders of Israel. Mm. You know, there's quite a bunch up there. Mm. 70 of the elders of Israel, which is, for me, catching the idea that things from all our areas of life are to actually serve and be present to witness Moses interfacing with God in that sort of sense. And one of the things I think it does is to help us, and I hope I'm clear in this, one of the things I think this additional people thing, which is quite frequent in the Bible, is that it stops us from being too black and white. It stops us from falling into space and distance and separation. And, I'm no good here, but the glory's there, sort of thing. When in fact the glory is already with me in that sense, but I've actually got to find it and relate to it and so on. So I actually think it's very meaningful in that sense. But verse 2, and Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him. So, you know, Moses alone, they shall not come near, and the people shan't set a foot on the mountain. But everything that Moses gets from the mountain is for the people to hear at the foot of the mountain. And when they hear it, they are asked if they will obey or not. And they commit to their obedience. Okay? So it's grounding in life what has been given to you in your highest state of receptivity.